This morning as we gather on this, which is known as Super Bowl Sunday, I think it's fitting that we use a subject or a title, at least, that would kind of be in alignment with that. Although, hopefully, everything that is said and everything that is done here today is in alignment with God's Word. Therefore, the subject or the title of the sermon is Sidelined or In the Game. Our text this morning is Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. We see the words of Isaiah, where he writes, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me." What would happen if players in a game never left the bench? Football, for instance, this being Super Bowl Sunday. How about if the defense of the Seattle Supersonics, no, that's basketball, isn't it? Seattle Seahawks. That tells you what kind of fan I am. If they were to decide not to get off the bench, well, I suspect that the offense of the Denver Broncos would just walk from end to end, keep scoring touchdowns. As Christians, where are we to be for Christ? The question must be asked, and we need to provide for people the options that are available on the sidelines or in the field of battle. If we're on the sidelines, are we ever going to step on the battlefield for Christ? I know I played a little football in high school, very small, wasn't very big, and got knocked around quite a bit. And my heart sank when the coach turned and pointed his finger at me and said, "Strickland, get on the field." Contrary to the bigger and more robust guys, who when the coach called their name, they were ready to go. I kind of hoped at that point that I wouldn't be called on. Many Christians today seem to be on the sidelines and are afraid that their name is going to be called to do something. If we are on the sidelines, if we're not on the battlefield, what will it take to get on the field and off of the sidelines? Be honest. Are you on the field? Are you comfortably sitting on the bench? As you turn to Psalms chapter 29, verses 1 and 2, we find words of the psalmist that might help us to answer the question, are we worshiping God with a whole heart? Psalm 29, 1 and 2, "Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in beauty of holiness." When we come before God, are we just going through the motions? Are we here because it's traditional in our family to get up on Sunday mornings, to gather ourselves together, to sing some songs, hear somebody pray, to have a sermon, to sing a song during the invitation, have somebody pray, and then to look forward to the rest of the day? As we turn to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 8, we'll see that it is not for us to go through the motions, but rather to serve God. And this verse tells us how we are to serve God. It said, "Wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." You know, it saddens me. I go on websites all the time of congregations of the Lord's church. Increasingly, I have seen preachers who will preach their sermon standing up there in a t-shirt and a pair of jeans, making jokes, telling cute little stories. They might throw in a scripture or two if it's convenient to do so. And after 15 minutes, give this little speech: "If we can do anything to help you, come on down to the front." That's not an invitation. But what is missing here? It is the reverence that we should have quite frankly, the reverence and the godly fear is missing in those situations. It's sad. People that are doing that are just going through the motions. They're just having church. We must then ask ourselves the question, if we're not just going through the motions, are we here for the right reasons? Is it about our friends or family? Do we come just because we haven't seen each other for a week? Do we come to see who got a new dress? Do we come to see who else might be here or who might not be here? If that's the case, we're not here for the right reason. Are we here because we love God? Because we reverence God? Because we want to serve Him? I hope that's the reason. Ask yourself. When you ask yourself, are you sidelined or in the game? How much do we pray to God? A Christian can very easily get to the point where they forget to pray. When they do, I will tell you that they are firmly entrenched upon the sidelines and not in the field of battle. In 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 through 15, as we ask ourselves the question, do we come to Him like we should or as often as we can? We see words written by the Apostle John that tells us that he hears us. Said, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we will have the petitions that we desired of Him. Now that's not to say that any and everything that we pray for will be answered the way we want it to be. There will be those today, listen, there will be those today on this Super Bowl Sunday that will be praying for one team or another to win. Save your breath, God is not a fan. But if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us and He will honor that prayer. Every prayer is answered. Sometimes people think that God does not hear us, nor does He answer our prayers. He hears every prayer. Even Cornelius' prayers went up for a memorial. And He answers every prayer. He may not just answer them just the way we want them to be answered. But it must be asked in accordance to His will. And if it is His will, it will come to pass. Some people find themselves, while being sidelined, looking to God as a last resort when things are going badly. When things are going smooth, finances are secure, life is happy. No real major problems. We don't need God. But let the roof cave in on you. What's the first thing you do? Oh God, look out for me. In Luke chapter 21, verses 34 through 36, we see the warning of Christ regarding putting God to the side, or ourselves to the side, as regarding God. He says, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and so that the day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Notice verse 36. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. In other words, what he's saying there, our prayer should be that we make it through the end of this life, faithfully serving God, praying to Him, doing those things which He would have us do, so that we might stand before the Son of Man and receive the promise, everlasting life, which is for those who are obedient and remain so. While we ask ourselves if we're sitting on the sideline or if we are in the game, we need to ask ourselves, do we recognize the spiritual needs of others? Do we recognize the need of others to be fed spiritually? as you turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, I'll submit to you today that there are people spiritually that are starving to death. And I don't mean in some third world country. I mean right here in the good old USA. Starving to death spiritually. Do we see that need? If not, we're on the sidelines. He says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. We need to see the need that others have, and if we're on the sideline, we cannot. Jesus said, the fields were white unto harvest, but the laborers are few. In other words, there's plenty of work for everybody. It's time to get busy. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 12 through 13, as we ask ourselves, are we sidelined or are we in the game? We need to ask ourselves also, are we holding others back from growing in the faith? We have a situation in Corinth, chapter 8 of the book of 1 Corinthians, verses 12 and 13, whereas there were those who would do things that would cause others to stumble. The Apostle Paul, as guided by the Spirit, said, but when you sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. In other words, Paul was willing to put his personal liberties on hold and say, I will not do anything that will cause you to stumble. I will not hold you back from growing in the faith. Ask yourself, are we watchers or doers? I've already alluded to the fact that I did play a little football in high school. I was perfectly content to be a watcher. I was perfectly content, had we won the championship, which we did not, to get my little trophy. There's a fellow, and you can look him up, Chuck Nevitt. He has something like 5 or 6 NBA championship rings. Do you know how many minutes in his career he played? This is several years. He played less than a half a game. But you know what? He's got 7 rings. He was a watcher. Oh yeah, he practiced with the team. He traveled when the team traveled. He was there with them. He celebrated when they celebrated. He got the ring. Christianity doesn't work that way. You cannot ride the bench and expect to receive the crown. It doesn't work. Are we involved in the church as we should be? Turn to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. We'll see what Jesus Christ said that we should do. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Cute little children's song, when we teach our young people, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. They get excited when they get to say the word no, because right before that they say, hide it under a bushel. No! As we ask ourselves the question, are we watchers or doers? Do we sit back and let everyone else do the work? Look what James chapter 1 verses 22 through 25 tell us. It instructs us that we are to be doers of the word. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Look at verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Again, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. This is the word of God. And continueth therein. He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This man shall be blessed in his deed. In other words, what this verse is saying without having to spell it out is that if we do not do the work, there will be no blessing. What happens on the sideline? Little or nothing. There were times that I wore the same uniform 3 games in a row and didn't have to wash it. All I did was sit there. I loved it. But relative to our Christianity, if we are on the sideline, what happens? There is little or no biblical learning. When we do nothing to learn, we learn nothing. I was talking to one this morning about how it is that people learn, and I think it's 10% of the people are fortunate enough to be able to hear something and learn it. Maybe 10% of it, additional 10% that hear it and read it, learn it. Most of us have to be involved in it. In Titus chapter 1, verse 10, we see that there are unruly men, vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. He was talking about those who would prevent those that would be in the game from leaving the sidelines. When we become idle in our learning and we cause others to do the same, we are in opposition to God. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, we'll find what the young preacher was told. Now stop and consider. This young preacher had had Paul's hands laid upon him. Some spiritual gifts have been transferred. But what was he told to do? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Even though he had these spiritual gifts transferred to him through the laying on of the hands of an apostle, he was instructed to study. Don't you think we should? We should not be idle. We should never stop learning. We should never stop being a faithful Christian. Because being a faithful Christian is a learning process. When you stop learning, there should be one more service you attend. Your funeral service, for those who didn't get it. We learn from our mistakes. We learn from the mistakes of others. And we learn from God's word. Thus, we always have more to learn. Woe be unto the man that thinks he knows everything. When they think they stand, that's when they fall. When we think we know everything, when we think we don't have to learn, when we think we don't have to put forth any effort, we start having empty or even vain worship and little or no prayer time. When we are idle, our worship means very little because our heart is not in it. In Psalms 111:1, we see the psalmist write words that we should read, that we should take into our hearts. It says, praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. We need to put forth effort when we worship. When we don't pray to God, we show Him how much we depend upon ourselves instead of Him. In Psalms chapter 4 and verse 8, again, we see the psalmist say words, these words, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. You know why? Because he had the proper relationship. He hid the word of God in his heart so that he might not sin against God. In Psalms chapter 9 and verse 10, we also see words that would help us to understand that we should put our trust in God, not in ourselves. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. If we're on the sidelines, are we seeking? I think not. So let's stop and think about what we must do. rather than to become watchers. When we're on the sidelines, we cannot do things for the Lord like we should be doing. We must step onto the field of battle and work for God if we would be doers and not hearers only. Let's get back on the field. First and foremost, we must realize our situation. Look at the first part of Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 9. We'll see a situation in which Jeremiah, the prophet of God, who was given words of God to say, perhaps he was discouraged when he said these words. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. You know, there have been preachers, some who were very, very good preachers. One who I knew personally that quit about every week. Oh, he started back on Monday, preparing for the next week, was ready for classes on Wednesday, was encouraging folks, but he was discouraged. Even Jeremiah got discouraged, and we should realize when and how we got off the field of battle for Christ. We must realize the error of our ways and our attitude, and we must decide to get to work for God. We must be willing to get back on the field. Look at the latter part of that verse, Jeremiah chapter 20 and verses 9. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. Joshua put forth that same sentiment when he said, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. We must decide what is important. We must realize that we, and each and every one of us, are needed by God. Folks often fall into the trap of saying, you know, I'm not very important. I can't do a whole lot. Or I'm not good at it, or something. Every Christian is needed by God. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30. Tells us what kind of people that God needs. They need people willing to stand in the gap. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the Lord, that I should not destroy, but I found none. Our situation today is not a new one. People have been sidelined for a long time. God's people have been sidelined for a long time. We must realize that the cause of the kingdom is bigger than we are, and the things of this world are only passing away. Thus we should not be consumed with them. In Luke chapter 12 verse 15, Jesus spoke to the people of that day, told them what their problem was. He said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the thing which he possesseth. Why, there's absolutely nothing uncommon today about folks not being in services because of something they needed to do that they deemed by their actions to be more important than worshiping and serving God. What does it take to get back on the field? A change must occur. To get back on the field for Christ, we must change our attitude and our priorities. God must come first. And the needs of the church must come first. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 37 through 38, Jesus spoke and told us how it should be. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. There are so many Christians today that have dumped their cross on a heap and sat down on the sidelines. Christ doesn't want lukewarm Christians. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 16 tells us this. He wants us to be either hot or cold. He would much rather that we be hot. He said to those of Laodicea, so then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. A sideline Christian is a lukewarm Christian. So then the question needs to be asked, why are we needed on the field? Well, Christ wants us there, and He needs us there. He needs us to be His soldiers. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, we see a place where the Apostle Paul alluded to being a soldier. In fact, we are soldiers. He said, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please himself who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. We've got to play by the rules. And it's not just enough to be on the team. It's our duty to stand up for Christ. It is only reasonable to do so. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, the Apostle Paul, given words by the Spirit to present to them, told them that this was their reasonable service. And it's our reasonable service today to serve and worship God with all that is in us. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And no Christian is asked any more than any other. Every Christian must make application of this. Lost souls need us on the field, reaching out to them. We need to be on the field of battle because souls are at stake. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, we see a warning to the brethren, to telling them to be sober, to be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And then he tells them also what to do. Resist him, whom resist standing in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. I have no doubt that there were those who were on those championship teams on which Chuck Nevitt was a member, thought that they carried their teammates. And some of them they did. But they all got to participate in the glory. We're needed because lost souls will not save themselves. We're needed because those who are sitting on the bench and remain on the bench will not receive the championship prize. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 tells us, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How else are they going to hear it unless we proclaim it? Christians need all players on the field together working with them. You know, the world has all their fighters on the field. That's why we seemingly are so outnumbered. Satan has all his people working, doing everything they can to shut out the opposing team, the church. He uses all his plays against us. Therefore, we must have all of our soldiers, all of our players ready and prepared. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3, the Apostle Paul writes to this young preacher, says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. It's not going to be easy. But we have means by which we can do this. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13 tells us, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. It kind of reminds me of David and Goliath. It is amusing as you read that. You see that the army of Israel is out there. Goliath, their champion, is out there challenging them, and none would take the challenge. But a mere boy comes and says, because God is with me, we can take him down. And this wasn't an idle boast. You know what David knew? He knew that being a servant of God was not a spectator sport. Today, we need to understand that being a Christian is not a spectator sport. Again, back to our text, Isaiah 6:8. I also heard the Lord, or also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. You know, no one really wins an event by staying on the sideline. How many can be saved from their sinful lifestyles if no one tries to reach them? With us on the side of God, we can do His will. David did. It was the will of God that Goliath fall. But also it was the will of God that Goliath fall in such a way that they would know that God reigns supreme. In Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 11, we'll see why it is up to us to continue to spread the word of God. We can also see the benefit of doing so. He said, so shall my word that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Why did He give us His word? Why do we have the word of God? So that souls could be won. Are we willing to step off the sideline for God and get to work for Him? There's a lot of people that would be shaking their head in the affirmative while having splinters where they have sat on the bench for so long. Can we say, as we reach the end of our game, as Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7, as we get to the end of our game and look back, he said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. But there's one more important thing that we need to understand this morning as we begin to wrap up this sermon. Before you can get to work for the Lord, you have to become part of the team. You can't just walk out there and sit down on the bench and say, here I am, coach, I'm ready to play. You have to become part of the team. How do you do that? Well, Romans chapter 10 and verse 14 tells us that the first thing that they must do is hear. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Next, they also must believe. John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Following this, a person is to repent. Jesus said, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Luke 13:3-5. We also find in Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, and the times of this ignorance God winked at. But notice what it says after that, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. That means to turn away from that life of sin, turn toward God. But you're still not on the team. Having heard, believed, repent, a person then is to confess before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32 tells us, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Application in New Testament times is found in Acts chapter 8 and verse 37. Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then we are to be baptized. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, those people on that Pentecost morning had realized that they had crucified the Son of God and terror was in their heart. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And friends, when they did that, they were added to the church, they became part of the kingdom, they were now on the team of the Lord. But there's work to be done. If you read the latter part of chapter 2, you'll find out that they worked from that point forward. If you're a child of God and you've been sidelined because of sin, you can get back into the game. But again, there's something that the Lord requires of you. You can get back in the game by being restored to the proper relationship with God through repentance and prayer. But it's up to you. Acts chapter 8 and verse 22 tells us, "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee." Sidelined or in the game? Assess your position. Ask yourself, where are you? And where am I going to be when the Lord returns? If you need to respond to the invitation, we invite you to do so as together we stand and sing the selected song.